we do appreciate the help with the music this morning. We are turning for the second time today to the book of Galatians. Galatians, we covered last week the first two verses. And we're going to, by the grace of God, make much progress today and cover, I trust, three verses. So we are so glad for the privilege to come to the Word of God. Let us hear God's Word in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 5. Last Lord's Day, you may remember that we considered the address portion of this letter or epistle. The addresser was the Apostle Paul, and the addressees were the churches of Galatia. Paul was asserting his authority as an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now today we come to the salutation of the letter. And in our salutation, we normally say, dear somebody. Of course, if you do a lot of texting and emails, normally in this day and time, it's hi. But dear is, you just don't walk up to somebody and say, dear. Now, sometimes we say, dear brother or dear sister. That's good. But normally it's not a formal salutation like we do in writing a letter, dear somebody. So the salutation, Paul begins with the grace of the gospel. It's the salutation begins in verse 3. And he is praying grace and peace upon them. That is his burning desire, that they have the grace and peace of God. Now, the grace of the gospel, if the Galatians are to be won back to the true scriptural faith, it must be accomplished by grace. As Dr. Martin Luther wrote, grace and peace embrace the whole of Christianity. Grace forgives our sin, and peace stills the troubled conscience. The peace of God stills our troubled consciences. Thank God for the conscience. Thank God that our consciences are not seared with a hot iron, but that we feel it when we sin and we know our guilt. But it is the peace of God that flows from the grace of God that stills the troubled conscience. Let us see Paul's emphasis on the gospel at the very outset of this letter. It is the gospel that he is concerned with. First, it is the grace of God our Father in the gospel. You see it there. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Grace. Before we ever had our being, before there was even a world, God the Father determined to bestow the free gifts of his grace upon hopeless and condemned sinners. Before we ever existed, before the world existed, God determined to bestow the gifts of His grace upon condemned, hopeless sinners. Grace is the source of all our blessing. Grace basically just means gift. God's wonderful grace, His gifts. Grace is the source of all our blessings, for He is the God of all grace, as the Spirit of God tells us. Grace cancels out our sin. What a blessing to have our sin canceled out. When we hear the word of His grace, He saves us. Grace moved the Father to give to us and to give for us His eternally beloved, precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. It was grace that moved the Father to give His Son. You know, all of the mere religions of this world are not grace-centered. They are man-centered. They all demand human works that man can work his way up to God and ultimately to salvation. But not so with our Father in heaven. His salvation is all of grace. It is His giving, His Son. Secondly, it was not only grace that moved the Father. It was grace that moved Jesus Christ to give Himself for our sins. What do we read there? Grace to you, be to you and peace from God the Father, but not only from Him, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself willingly. You think about Him coming to be born into this world, a little baby, and to grow up and to face all the cruelty of this world, even from His own younger siblings, those that were the natural children of Joseph and Mary. We know at one time they were mocking Him. We read of that in the Gospel of John. They were mocking their big brother, Jesus. How terrible. But our Lord didn't have to come. He did it willingly. He chose to come. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. Christ came not only to experience poverty, but He came to experience all of the non-sinful miseries of this life. Terrible hunger He suffered for 40 days in the wilderness. No roof over His head for years. The contradiction of sinners against Himself. Terrible tortures as He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And there on that cross, to thirst not only for water, for moisture, but for His loving eternal Father that had forsaken Him during those horribly dark hours on the cross. He gave Himself for what? He gave Himself for our sins. Verse 4 says, who gave Himself for our sins. He didn't give Himself for our righteousness. He didn't give Himself for our fitness. He didn't give Himself for our goodness. He didn't give Himself for us to promise to do better, but He gave Himself for our sins, for our filthy, for our sensual, for our selfish, devilish sins, for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He gave Himself. He gave Himself, the perfectly pure, loving, holy God-man. He gave Himself for our sins. And why did He do that? Verse 4, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. He gave Himself to deliver us from this present evil world, to set us free. That word deliver carries that meaning. To deliver us from this present evil world. And He came, as verse 3 tells us, that we might also have peace. Notice verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to deliver us from troubled consciences as well as from this present evil world to give us peace. Peace of conscience. The only way to have peace of conscience is to be freed from the gnawing guilt of our sin. And it's only by having the sacrifice and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our soul. And peace with God, He came to give us. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What does that mean? No longer at war with God by our rebellion, by our disobedience, and by running after every evil lust, which is our nature. No longer are we at war with God, and no longer is He at war with us to condemn us, to destroy us, and to punish us for all eternity. This peace that He gives not only is for our consciences, but it is also for our prosperity, for our success, for our blessing. But there is no peace without grace. The blessings come from the top down. It is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings us this peace. There is no peace without grace. Grace always comes first. If there is no genuine saving grace, then there can be no real, lasting, and eternal peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57:21. And who are the wicked? Are the wicked murderers, robbers, those that are the abusers of themselves with mankind? No. That's wicked, yes. But the wicked are simply people who live without reference to God. Simply people living without a saving, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no lasting peace, prosperity, or blessing upon those that live every day of their lives without reference to the Lord. Are we living every day of our lives with reference to the Lord? We considered that wonderful verse in Proverbs 23 and verse 17 in our prayer meeting Wednesday night, and that we are commanded not to envy the wicked, but rather we are to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's where the Lord would have us live. Remember, the source of our salvation is the grace of God. And the source of our peace is the grace of God and the God of all grace. It is from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, all our blessings are from the top down. The Galatians needed to learn this. We don't earn our blessings. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, what is God's purpose? His purpose is stated so clearly there that Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. This is God's purpose. Meaning to set us free from the evil that is so present in this age. As Jesus prayed in His high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 15, He said, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, I'm going to quote from our brother John Calvin again. And Calvin said, God's purpose is that we might no longer live in our filth and uncleanness, but be delivered from it. He goes on to say, the natural world contains nothing that is inherently wicked or corrupt. Let's underline that. The natural world contains nothing that is inherently wicked or corrupt. Not the sun, moon, earth, or seas. But we are so sinful and vile that we have infected everything with our pollution. While man remains in his lost and natural condition, he is rotten to the core and displeasing to God. Those are Calvin's words. This is according to the will of God and our Father that we read here at the end of verse 4. For him to deliver us from the evil, it is the will of God and our Father to deliver us from sin, to deliver us from misery, from the cruelty of wicked men of this world. It is God's purpose for us to be a holy people, zealous of good works, and it is the purpose of God to finally take his people to glory, to be forever with the Lord in robes of spotless white. And notice verse 3. To him, or to whom, be glory forever and ever. Amen. To him, that is to our great God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul was endeavoring to lead the Galatians back to the very center of the Christian message. What does he begin with? The grace of God. We've got to get back to the grace of the gospel. He's telling the Galatians. Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Every day, you and I need to be brought back to this blessed center rest of the gospel. It's very easy for us to depart from the gospel and to live as Arminians. It's very easy for us to move away from the gospel in our thinking and start living according to what we earn by our works, earning the favor of God. But we have the favor of God because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of his exaltation and his continual intercession for us. We need every day to be brought back to this, to the center rest of the gospel. Not just the Galatians. You and I must get to Christ every day. We need him every day. That in regard to our faith, everything is from the top down. We did not seek God. He sought us. He found us in our sin and in our corruption. And he gave us the best that he had to give to rescue us, his own dear son. So deep and so deadly was the guilt of our sin, and so exact is the justice of God, that there could be no deliverance for you and me without the payment that Christ made, fully satisfying God's broken law for us. Galatians, it could not be by fastings. It could not be by our tears. It could not be by our repentances that we could be saved. No, it was all of God the Father's grace and Christ giving himself for our sins. To whom be glory forever and ever. God, in this great work of redemption, has glorified his own great attributes. You think of the attributes of God. He's great. He has glorified and magnified his greatness in this great salvation. He has magnified his attribute of justice. that God could be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. He has glorified His wisdom in devising for us such a simple and yet such a profound way of salvation. He has glorified the attribute of His goodness. How good is the God we adore, that He would deliver us, that He would set us free from the awful slavery of sin. And He has glorified His attribute of power. Oh, what a mighty God, that He can take those who were naturally opposed to Him and make them His friends and His children. So let us ascribe all glory to God for His excellent work of triune redemption, planned by the Father, procured by the Son, and put into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Let not this great work of God be forgotten. The Galatians had forgotten it. They had turned back to the ceremonial law. Let us not forget, because it is not only our salvation, this great salvation, this redemption, this great work of God is the song of the angels and the redeemed right now in the glory. And it will be the long-lasting, never-ending song through millions of eternal ages, forever and ever. Amen. So be it. So it is, and so it ever shall be. Thank God. Let us pray together. Let us pray. Now let us fall before the majesty of our great God, acknowledging our sins and praying that the Lord would make us increasingly conscious of our sins. May our consciences be truly pricked, that we might hate our sin and embrace God's mercy. And may His grace be poured upon us in ever-increasing measure. May His hand support and sustain us in our weakness until we are brought to holy perfection in the kingdom of heaven, which has been bought for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the almighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.